following message is a production of Tony Broome Ministries.
Well, I hope by now you found the book of Acts chapter 4. And if you haven't, don't worry, we'll call you when the dinner bell rings. Well, what's the difference between a politician and a preacher? One is lying, the other's trying. Some people even think he might be prying. But at least he's trying to keep you from frying. What's the difference between a physician and a pastor? One gets paid lots of money, the other gets paid little attention. What's the difference between a sinner and a saint? Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only difference between a sinner and a saint. Every saint has been a sinner once upon a time. Amen. But then Jesus came. Thank God for that day that he came to us. Persecution, reaction. That's what I want to talk to you about. Christian persecution is when someone is subjected to hostility or ill treatment because of their faith. Mm-hmm. Some people think that we don't suffer persecution. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Preachers, I've heard them ignorantly brag about this happening in other countries, but certainly not in America. Well, I don't know where they've been. I don't know where they live. I don't know what plate they're eating off of or who put a silver spoon in their mouth. But Paul tells us, and he tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, "You have fully known my persecutions, afflictions which came into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Thank God every persecution that you go through, God delivers you. And he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Amen. If we're not being persecuted in some kind of way, we need to check up. Yep. Because he said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Or as we say in North Carolina, worser and worser. Evil men, seducers, worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The early church believers had three main reactions to persecution: prayer, praise, and proclamation. When they were persecuted, they prayed about it. They prayed in Acts chapter 4, and they started talking to the Lord when the religious crowd, it wasn't the world. You're not going to get persecuted most of the time by those in the barroom, by the harlots, by those in the world. You're going to get persecuted by the ecumenical movement, by those in the religious crowd.
Amen.
They will be the one to persecute you, and they did in the early church. And they came together and they prayed about this thing. They said, "Lord, you're the one who made heaven and earth. You're the one who made the sea and all things. You're the one who said by your servant David, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth and the rulers have set themselves. They have stood up together against the Lord and against the Christ, his anointed one. They said, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." That means we don't want Christians telling us what we can and cannot do. We don't want Christians saying that you can't kill your unborn babies. We don't want Christians saying it's wrong for a man and a woman to get together, hanky-panky, and do all this kind of stuff. We don't want no Christian to tell us what to do, so let us break their bands away from us. Let us cast away their cords from us. And in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 29, they said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." The first stage of persecution is threatening. They don't really do anything. They just start threatening. They threaten that you cannot do this and you cannot do that, and you better not come together for worship. Somebody might get sick. Well, you better not come together for worship to do this and that. Well, the thing is, that's the place you ought to be. Somebody's sick, you can pray the prayer of faith and get well.
Amen.
They start by threatening. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't pray for power. They prayed for boldness. We always pray for power. Oh, God, send the power. Oh, give me the power. And he said, I already have when you got born again, especially when you got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I've given you the power. You have the power.
Amen.
The power resides in us. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken our mortal body by his Spirit who dwells in us. Glory to God. They didn't pray for power. They prayed for boldness. And what Christians need nowadays is boldness. We've got so timid. We've got so scared. We want to be so politically correct. And we don't want to say anything to offend anybody. We never mind that everybody's going their way to hell. Never mind that families don't have anything to do with each other anymore. You can't get together and you can't do anything. Never mind all that. But just as long as we're politically correct, we're going to send our politically correct soul to a devil's hell, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to offend anyone, and we should not offend anyone just for the purpose of doing that. But we need boldness to speak the word of God. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that's what they prayed for. They prayed for healing. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. God couldn't stand it any longer. When they got to that point and prayed that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus, it said when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
This was not an earthquake. This was a place quake.
Amen.
This was a building shake. It was a whole lot of shaking going on. It was a jailhouse rock, but it wasn't no jailhouse. It was a church house.
Amen.
The church house rock.
Amen.
The place was shaken where they were assembled together.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, how do you know it's not an earthquake? Because in the Bible, every time an earthquake came, it's always for judgment. God was not judging them. He was blessing them.
Amen.
He was blessing their socks off of them.
Hallelujah.
They should have pantyhose. He's blessing their hose off of them, I reckon. Anyway, he was blessing them to the point the place couldn't stand it. It shook where they were assembled together, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This resulted in many signs and wonders being done by the apostles, and many conversions taking place. People got saved. They got healed. Even the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Any time that this takes place, it's a match against persecution. If you really want to stir the devil up, let miracles and conversions and things start taking place.
Amen.
But he's going to be stirred up anyway, so we might as well just go ahead and pray the prayer of faith and witness to people and tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
James tells us in the first part of his book, chapter 5, verse 13, first part of 13, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. When they were persecuted, they prayed. He said, is any among you afflicted? You're having a hard time. You're going through troubles. You're going through a hard place. He said, pray.
Amen.
Pray about it, because God will help you through your affliction. He will not necessarily remove the affliction off of you, but he will help you as you pray.
Yes. Amen.
Persecution reaction. They prayed, and then they praised. Peter and John were used of God to heal the lame man in Acts chapter 3.
Amen.
The people were glad, but the corrupt religious crowd got mad about it. They threatened the apostles and commanded them not to teach or preach in Jesus' name anymore. Yeah, right. Okay. Peter said, you want to obey God? You think we ought to obey you rather than God? Judge you what's right.
There you go.
The apostles give us the principle by letting us know, let it be known that we should obey God rather than man.
Amen. For
we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We're only telling you what we've seen and heard. We're only telling you what's happened to us. And that's why sometimes we don't have much to tell people, because we haven't experienced much ourselves.
Right.
We need to get in God's experiential line and let Him work us over to the point where we can be saved and sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost. We can have God to touch our life again. We can get into the altar, and you may not get into a church altar right now, but you can get in a stump, you can get into an altar somewhere and let God touch you and bless you again.
Amen.
Then you'll have something to tell somebody about, except gossip and bad things. We don't want to tell about that.
Amen.
We can tell the things that we have seen and heard. And He preaches a sermon. You slew Jesus, the innocent one, and hung Him on a tree after desiring a murderer to be released in His place. They said, give us Barabbas. The innocent Son of God who had done nothing wrong, they put Him up there before Pilate. And here's Barabbas. He'd done everything wrong, just like you and I. Yep. And they said, give us Barabbas. But they killed the Prince of Life. But God raised Him from the dead.
Amen.
We are His witnesses, and so is also the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
Whom God hath given to those who obey Him.
Amen.
Well, at this point, they were cut to the heart.
Yep.
They took counsel to kill them. Then Gamaliel, that's that one of them hard names, you know, like George and Bill and Sue and all that. Gamaliel, he was an expert in the law, one who was of high reputation among them. He was one that Paul said he came up under the feet of Gamaliel. Paul knew what it was to be brought up under this strict law teacher. And so Gamaliel warns them against bothering or interfering with these men. Acts chapter 5, now verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Naught is a King James word for nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God.
Right.
I want you to know that the church, there's a lot of things that are going on in the church, can't go on anymore. Some of it I say, yay, 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 it's good. Some things are stopping. Some of it needs to stop. Some of it should have stopped a long time ago. But you cannot stop the work of God.
Amen.
You cannot stop the church of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus built His church on the rock, and it's here to stay.
Amen.
It's here to stay until the rapture day, and then it'll be gone.
Amen.
You won't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
You won't have to worry about Christians telling you what to do anymore.
Amen.
Those Christians who will be saved during the tribulation period, they'll make it by the skin of their teeth. And they'll be so persecuted and so burdened down, they won't have time to tell you what's right and wrong. They're just trying to make it themselves.
Right.
But you and I, we have the message of eternal life.
Yes, amen.
He said, refrain from these men. Let them alone. And to Him they agreed. Now watch this next thing. They agreed. They said, that's right. That's what we ought to do. And when they had called the apostles and had beaten them. Hello, I thought you said agree that you're going to leave them alone. You refrain from these men. Now you're getting rods after them. You're beating them. Do you notice that the persecution started by threatening, and now it's progressed to the point of beating? They're getting more brash. They're getting more bold. That's how the going to hell media crowd and all do.
Yep.
They start off by a little threat. Well, you shouldn't get together and you shouldn't worship. And then when pastors are notable people and we comply with God's law and the government the best that we can, they say, well, we appreciate you pastors for doing that. And then they get in the corner and lick their lips. We made it through this, and now let's go on a little further. Persecution starts getting a little tighter.
Yeah.
Hadn't gotten to the point of beating here in America in a lot of places yet, but many people are suffering, beating, and even slaughter for their faith and their life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They had beaten them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, saying, "Phooey, I guess we need to give up." I don't think that's what that verse said.
No.
They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name.
Amen.
Where is that where is that Spirit of God that used to live in the hearts of Christian brothers and sisters? that would cause us to stand up for Christ. And even when we're beaten for the cause of Christ, we would rejoice that we were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name.
Amen.
Now all they got to do is say boo, and we'll go run and hide in the corner.
Yep.
Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Instead of shutting up, they piped up. They got louder. They got more. They were not disrespectful. They were not trying to break the law, but they were standing up for God. We got to obey God rather than men. Persecution reaction. They prayed. They praised and they proclaimed. The same religious crud crowd. They set up false witnesses against Stephen, who was doing great things for God. Ended up stoning him to death. He is what we know as the first Christian martyr. Many have given their life for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
You read such books as Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many were sawn asunder, as the book of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. Many lost their lives because they would not recant. They would not give in to what King George says. They would not give in to what Queen Mary says. They would not give in to what the Church of England said. They lost their lives. They were burned at the stake, burned in their chairs. But they live in heaven with Jesus right now.
Amen.
Because a martyr's crown. Somebody said, do you want to be a martyr? I don't see a line lining up for it. I don't see many volunteers. You may be called on to be one.
That's right.
If Jesus does not come sooner than we want Him to, we may be called upon. God give us the grace. People don't even have grace to get out of their bed. They don't even have grace to come to the house of God. Don't even have grace to stand up for God and live for God.
Right.
Don't even have grace to stand up in the face of the devil and say, you pushed me this far, but I ain't going no further, buddy.
Amen.
If we don't have grace to do that, we will not have grace to stand and witness for Christ when persecution, the heat is against us. When the furnace gets turned up hotter, the godly just be more godly. The holy are more holy. The righteous are more righteous. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, he was saying, get him, kill him, kill him. He was all with it. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He did all he could to persecute Christ, to persecute the church of God. This is the one who we know now as Paul. He was Saul. He did everything he could against Christ and against his church. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. It didn't say they went home and cowered down in a corner. It said they went everywhere, preaching the word. Persecution did not stop them. It scattered them, but it didn't stop them. They went everywhere, preaching the word of God.
Amen.
Saul continues, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the saints. Knocked to the ground on the road to Damascus. And he sees the glory of God. Jesus speaks to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He asks. He already knew who he was. He knew it was the Lord. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. This Saul, whom we know as Paul, becomes one of the greatest preachers ever. But more importantly than that, he was one of the most persecuted ever. He suffered at the hands of his countrymen. He suffered at the hands of the world. He suffered at the hands, most of all, the religious crowd, that same religious crowd. He suffered persecution, much like he had done against his Lord and the saints before he came to Christ. He now knew what it was all about. We have experienced some of that same thing in our day that we live. The going to hell media, you said you already said that one time. I might say it two or three because that's what it is. They are doing everything they can to undermine and underestimate and go against Christians and go against Christ, take His name off the airways, take His name off the internet, take it off the radio, off the printed page. But you'll never do away with that name above all names.
Amen. Amen.
Now they that were scattered abroad, this is chapter 11, verse 19, they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, hard word, and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. God was glad with that day. He was not glad they were persecuted. God didn't use persecution, but he used the events that came of it. Persecution from the evil one. It may come through the religious crowd, but it's from the evil spirit.
Amen.
Persecution comes from the evil spirit.
Amen.
God didn't use that, but he used the fact that they were scattered abroad. He said, you scatter my disciples abroad, and they'll go everywhere. Just like torches, just like lamps, they'll go with this message of eternal life.
Amen.
You cannot shut it down. You cannot stop it.
Amen.
Because it's the same. Because Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot stop. You can persecute. You can rail against it. But if Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, surely no religious crowd, surely no government, surely no state can prevail against the church of the living God and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You cannot prevail against it. God was glad of that day when the Greeks, when the Gentiles heard the word of God and a great number turned unto the Lord. He wants people to be saved. And that's why Jesus hasn't come. That's why he still hasn't come yet, because he wants you to be saved. He wants us to be saved. He wants our loved ones to be saved. He wants you that are watching and listening right now. He wants you to be saved. Why put it off any longer? There's no need to put it off any longer. We're not getting younger. Times are not getting better. The world, evil men and seducers, as the scripture said, are waxing worse and worse. We do not need to put it off any longer.
Amen.
You need to make Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord today.
Amen.
Whatever your need is today, I want you to know that he's here.
Yeah.
Right here with us in this sanctuary.
Amen.
Right there with you in your home or wherever you are. He's here to supply your needs. He's here to bless you, to heal you, to save you. All you have to do is turn your life over to Jesus. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've lived my own way. I've done what I could, and it's all been a mess, and it's all fallen apart. And now, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I want you to save me, and I make you Lord of my life. If you do that, he is Lord of your life. And Father, I pray for these who are praying that prayer. I pray for these who have sickness in their body. I pray whatever their need is right now, that every need would be supplied. We thank you, Lord, because you are the one who is resurrected in power and glory. You are the one who is risen, the one who is living and was dead. And behold, you're alive forevermore. We thank you, Lord, because you're here to meet the need of every heart and every life.
Amen.
I praise you, Lord, for that today.
Yes.
Lord, bless these people.
Yes.
Bless the ones who are listening. Bless the ones who are watching. Bless their homes and their families. Bless them in their coming in and their going out. And they're rising up and they're sitting down. And whatever they do,
Amen.
May the works of their hands be blessed.
The preceding message has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.